However you're watching or listening, we appreciate you being there. And get your Bible ready. Let God speak to your heart. God's got a word to you. How many believe God's got something for you tonight? Praise God. Amen. The year was 1997. I remember it clear. I'd been an operations manager, grade level 25 at FedEx for a number of years. But in 1997, I was praying and I was sensing the leading of the Spirit that God was going to lead me into a new era, that I was going to actually get promoted, that there was a promotion coming. And the next level here in Tulsa, above that level, grade 25, would have been senior management, where they give you your own station. You run the whole station. And as an operations manager in 1997, I worked with five other managers. And together, our teamwork, and we had a senior manager, and we operated the station that way. But in 1997, I began to sense that God had something special for me. There was something stirring and brewing down in my spirit, and I started praying about it. And one night, I had a particular, what I'm going to call prompting, leading of the Lord. And I went over to the station where I was working, and I started walking around that station in prayer. It was late. I slipped behind the gate. And I just started walking around that station because I was thinking I'm going to be a senior manager here. And I was walking around that station praying. I think it was after midnight. But I was walking around there just praying. I was doing loop after loop, praying in the Spirit and just wanting to get hooked up and clear on what God was saying to me. And as I was walking around there praying, I had a different leading, a different prompting. It was this. It's not going to be here at this station. That's where I wanted to work. It was the newest of the two stations in Tulsa at that time. This was the one I wanted to work at, was the newest one with more modern amenities and all of that. And so I wanted to work there. But as I was walking laps around praying, I had a different leading. And I started sensing on the inside, it's not here. It's going to be 10 miles down the road. That station had been built back in the 70s. It was an old station. And I started thinking, it's going to be, oh man, it's not here. It's going to be down the road. And I remember, I to get behind the gates, I knew as a manager how to get in and how to get behind the gate. But I drove over to the other station. And it was trash everywhere, and the gates didn't work, and looked somewhat dilapidated, and I wasn't even excited when I pulled up there. I didn't have to slip in behind any gate. The gate was just open. The gates were broken. And so I just started walking around that station praying. Down on the inside, I felt a prompting, a leading right down here. This is it. This is it. And so I began to thank the Lord for the next level of promotion. And I knew I wasn't working at that station. I was working at the station down there. But I knew it was going to be there as I walked around praying. You ever had a prompting, a leading from the Lord down in your belly, down on the inside? Man, God can lead us and guide us when we pay attention to His promptings. Tonight, following the promptings of the Holy Spirit is the title of this message. Following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When I say promptings, I mean leading. I mean guidance of the Holy Ghost. How many know God? Thank God, the Father has shed abroad the Holy Spirit, and all of His love is in us, but also the Holy Spirit is in us, right? He shed His love abroad in us, but listen, for every believer, the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Aren't you glad about that? I said He's our great teacher and guide, and He's inside of our hearts to lead us and to guide us. You know, now in our world, in the day and age in which we live, we have such sophisticated guidance capabilities from a natural point of view. On telephones, how many of you have a MapQuest or some type of navigation on your phone that you use on a regular basis? Yeah. I mean, it's just at the phone level, you can just bring up a sophisticated software program and it can pick you up by satellite and lead you anywhere you need to go. Get in a boat, same thing. I remember, so many days when my dad was living, we'd go out on his boat, go out to the Atlantic Ocean, go out miles away where you couldn't see any more land. And if you look around, you can become disoriented when you can't see land. But the boat had a sophisticated navigation unit. And we had waypoints plotted in that navigation unit. And so I could be way out, miles out in the ocean, and just follow those waypoints right back to the dock, to the slip where my dad's boat, where he kept his boat. Bring you right back just within a few feet of where you left. Yeah. But there's no guidance like the Holy Ghost on the inside of the New Testament believer. I said, there's no sophisticated guidance anywhere like the guidance of the mighty Holy Spirit on the inside of the New Testament believer. And He knows how to lead you and I. And He knows how to guide you and I. And His leadership is mainly down on the inside. So I want to begin tonight just with a key scripture here. It's in Acts 27. I want to read, this is from, if you will, the Amplified Classic Version, Acts 27. I'll read 11 through 15 and then 20 through 25. This is our key text tonight. Acts 27, 11 through 15, and then verses 20 through 25. We're talking tonight about following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So often the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and I, and so often He will prompt us, but when we're not sensitive to Him, or worse, we're sensitive to Him, but we ignore what He's telling us, there can come seasons where He doesn't prompt us as often. He's still in there. He's still there, thank God. He doesn't leave us. But if we disobey Him and disobey Him and refuse to listen to Him and refuse to listen to Him, we might find ourselves in a season where He's not prompting us as much because He's waiting for us to obey what He told us. He's waiting for us to do what He told us. And just like walking around that building that night, I had that prompting. It's not going to be over here at this station. It's going to be over here at this station. And just like I had that prompting, several months later, that's where I got promoted. I got promoted and it was at that station. I'm not going to go into all the events that happened because I thought it would be over at that other station. But sure enough, just like I felt prompted that night, it was over at the other station. And God, He knows how to lead us and guide us. Acts 27, verse 11, from the Amplified Classic. However, the centurion paid greater attention to the pilot and the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And as the harbor was not well suited and so unsuitable to winter in, the majority favored the plan of putting out to sea again from there, hoping somehow to reach Phoenicia, a harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest in winter there. So when the south wind blew softly, supposing they were gaining their object, they weighed anchor and sailed along to Crete, hugging the coast. But soon afterward, a violent wind of the character of a typhoon, called a northeaster, came bursting down from the island. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and was unable to head against the wind, we gave up letting her drift and were borne along. Verse 20. When neither sun nor stars were visible for many days and no small tempest kept raging about us, all hope of our being saved was finally abandoned. 21. And then, as they had eaten nothing for a long time, Paul came forward in their midst and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and should not have put out to sea from Crete and brought on this disaster and harm and misery and loss. But even now I beg you to be in good spirits and take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, only of the ship. For this very night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve and worship. And he said, 'Do not be frightened, Paul. It is necessary for you to stand before Caesar. And behold, God has given you all those who are sailing with you.'" Verse 25. "So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith, complete confidence in God, that it will be exactly as it was told me." If you would give me one more scripture here and give me verse 10 in the Amplified Classic. It's Acts 27 and verse 10, where Paul gets on board this ship as a prisoner. And in verse 10, he says, "Sirs, I perceive after careful observation that this voyage will be attended with disaster and much heavy loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." There were 276 people on board that ship. Thank you. The point here tonight is that Paul got on a ship headed to Rome, and he felt a prompting, a leading of the Holy Spirit down on the inside. He's not a sophisticated sailor. He's not an owner of a ship. He's not a pilot. He's not a sailor at all. He's a preacher. And the preacher gets on the ship with the pilot, the owner, and the captain of the ship. And Paul senses down in his spirit something's not right. This thing is going to crash. There's going to be danger. It reminds me of a minister, I won't call his name, but a well-known minister, and he had been out ministering at a conference, had been with his music minister. He said here a number of years ago, speaking at Pastor Hagen's Call to Arms Men's Conference, this minister was speaking, and he said during his time, he said he had been out ministering and speaking, and he had bought his, not here at the men's conference, he was speaking at the men's conference then, but the example he was sharing was of him ministering somewhere else, and he said he had been with his music minister, and so they were getting ready to go back to their home city. And as they went into the airport, that minister said to his music minister, he said, "There's something not right. I don't know what it is, but I can't get on the plane." And the music minister said, "Well, Pastor, look, we've been gone for a long time. We've been out ministering for a long time, and I got a family and all. I need to get home to my family." And the pastor said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you feel okay, you go, you get on. But I just want to tell you, I'm not getting on that plane." And he said, "I don't know what else to do." He said he bought a ticket to California. He was supposed to be going in the opposite direction. He bought a ticket and just moved. He went to California with nobody to see, to just see what's the Lord saying. He just knew, "I'm not getting on that plane." Bought a ticket to California, which was nowhere near his state. But the music minister said, "I'm just going to get on the plane anyway, Pastor, the flight we're supposed to be on." And so that pastor shared that the music minister got on that flight, headed to their city, and that plane crashed and killed everybody on board, including his music minister. You know, it's so important that we learn how to follow the promptings, the leadings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can keep us out of trouble. I said the Holy Spirit knows how to lead you and I. Over in the New American Standard, Psalm 32, verse 7, David said, "You are my hiding place." He said, "You preserve me from trouble," or in other words, "You protect me from trouble." He said, "You surround me with songs of deliverance." Yeah. The Holy Ghost knows how to guide us. He knows how to protect us. He knows how to keep us out of harm's way if we'll listen. The purpose of this message tonight is to encourage you and I to listen to the leadings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, to gain a greater sensitivity to the leading of the Spirit down on the inside of you and I. It's one thing for you to recognize that the Spirit will lead your neighbor. It's another thing for you to recognize that the Spirit will lead you. Let's go deeper tonight. We're talking about following the promptings of the Holy Spirit, but let me say a few words about promptings of another nature. First, the promptings of the flesh. Let me say something about that, the promptings of the flesh. The promptings of the flesh. Let me thank all of those who helped me with my slides today. Would you give them a big hand? We're all just one big team. I appreciate them so much. I told them last week what I'd be ministering on, and they put together my slides. I gave them the points I was going to be making and so forth, but I appreciate them. The promptings of the flesh. What are we talking about here? Jeremiah 7:24. Amplified Classic, please. Jeremiah 7:24. The promptings of the flesh is what we're talking about first. Jeremiah 7:24, Amplified Classic. It says, "But they would not listen to and obey me or bend their ear to me, but followed the counsels of the stubborn promptings of their own evil hearts and minds. And they turned their backs and went into reverse instead of forward." Wow, that's a sad epitaph for God to say that his people would not follow his promptings. God was saying, "I'm prompting them, but they're not willing to follow my leading down on the inside." I tell you, there's a blessing when we learn how to follow his leading. When we learn how to follow his promptings. I remember a few months after walking around that station and praying and having that leading that I was going to get promoted to a senior manager there. I knew it on the inside. I remember driving to Stillwater. I shared this with you before. We're talking about the promptings of the flesh. I remember driving to Stillwater at the request of my boss. And I had to go down there and run that station for a week. The manager down there was on vacation. That manager and I, we were the same level. And they were on vacation, and I had to go down there and went down there for a week. And then when I got back after the week of going down to Stillwater, my boss said, well, something happened. I had to terminate that manager. I got nobody to run that station. You got the most experience. You got to go to Stillwater 3 months. And I thought, oh, no, I don't want to go. Because you leave early, you get home late. I'll never forget. My boss told me, she said, look, just spend the night down there as much as you want. You got an expense account. Just get a hotel, spend the night down there, stay down there as many nights as you want. I said, no, I got a family. My boy's got games. I don't want to stay in no hotel. I want to stay at my house. I'll do whatever you're saying, boss, but I don't want a hotel. She said, well, if you ever want one, just get one. If you get too tired to drive back, just get a hotel. I said, okay. And to her credit, too, she said, look, I'll go down there every Friday for you and give you a long weekend. Don't tell anybody. You'll be off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'll go down there on Fridays for you. And I said, okay, we did that for 3 months. What are you saying? On one of those mornings on the way down there, I had a flat tire. My car was on the side of the road and it was raining. I don't know if you've ever been on 412, headed towards Stillwater. It's a better drive today because they've widened some of the roads, but even still today, it's a dark, narrow drive, a good part of it. But back then, 97? Oh, man. Trucks come flying through there. It's raining. There's a very narrow shoulder. The shoulder's right next to the highway. And it was the driver's side rear that went flat. And I got my car over as far as I can get it. My back's this way trying to change the tire. I can't even get to the jack. Volvo, I had a Volvo. Man, Volvo found the funniest places to put jacks and how to get them out and how they, you know. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But the point is, I didn't feel safe out there. I was wet. It was early in the morning. It was dark. Trucks were whizzing past me, and I didn't want to get hit by a truck. And I started complaining. Complaining will keep you and I from being sensitive to the promptings of the Lord. I wish somebody would listen to this. I said, all our complaining is getting us nowhere fast. Your complaining is just keeping you from being sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Ghost down on the inside of you. Well, I wish I had an amen. And if you would stop that complaining and trust God by faith, if you would stop that complaining and just lift a hand and say, thank you, Jesus. If you would stop that complaining and just say, God, you've never failed me yet. You've never failed me yet. You are faithful in every situation. And I am your child, and you've always come through for me, and you're going to come through again. But Brother Bill was in the flesh behind that car changing that tire. And God in his mercy still spoke to me. I felt this prompting down on the inside, Bill, if you will stop complaining, I have something so good for you. On the other side of all of this, I'm going to bless you, and you'll be so glad that you took these trips to Stillwater. And I repented of all my fleshly complaining. Anybody ever had to repent of fleshly complaining? Was it just Brother Bill? Oh, okay, I got the right crowd. We're talking about following the promptings of the Lord. And so often this will hinder a believer. You say, I want the Lord to speak to me. He's already speaking to you. You say, well, I don't sense it because of all that complaining. And just like he prompted me behind the wheel, that flat tire. A year later, I got promoted to senior manager at the station that I told you about. They gave me a 6-figure salary, and in the offer packet, The hiring interviewer said, look, normally we wouldn't give a senior manager more than one station. You're going to have your hands full. You got over 100 employees, one station. But we understand, we heard that you, for a period of this year, went to Stillwater for 3 months and ran that station. And I said, yeah, I did. And they said, well, then you know everything about that station, and we're going to give you that station as well. We're going to increase your level of pay, and all you got to do is go down there and hire a manager, and you manage the manager. Is that all right? Can we give you more pay, and you run two stations? I said, oh, yeah, I'll take it, I'll take it. God was right. Down on the inside of me, behind that car, fixing a flat tire. God can prompt you anywhere you are. He can prompt you out there on the job. He can prompt you while you're on your motorcycle. He can prompt you behind the wheel of your car. He can prompt you while you're in the restroom. He can prompt you while you're upon your bed at night. But so often we have to put ourselves in a position to hear from God and get out of the flesh. Mark 15, verse 8. Amplified Classic, please. Mark 15, verse 8. It says this, and the throng came up and began asking Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he replied to them, do you wish for me to set free for you the king of the Jews? For he was aware that it was because they were prompted by envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to get him to release to them Barsabbas or Barabbas instead. They were prompted by envy. Over and over and over again, the scripture encourages you and I to crucify the flesh so that we won't be more sensitive to the promptings of the flesh than we are the promptings of the Spirit. One of those two things will dominate us. But obviously, we all allow the promptings of the Holy Spirit to dominate us. Listen, secondly, real quick, secondly, the promptings of the devil. The promptings of the devil. Look at John 13, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. John 13, verse 2, New Living, please. John 13, verse 2, it says, it was time for supper, and the devil, having already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. The enemy prompted him before Judas betrayed Jesus. It was the enemy who prompted him. And we have to be mindful that Satan will try to prompt you and I. I'll just give you a couple scripture references. We're not going to bring them up. But Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 in the Amplified Classic, write that down. And Ephesians 6, 13 and then 16 through 17 also in the Amplified Classic. What's that talk about? How Satan throws fiery darts. And his fiery darts have the intention of trying to prompt you and I to do wrong or to dwell upon the wrong thought or to think the wrong thing. Because wrong thinking is really the greatest enemy to the church. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, the greatest enemy to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy, Satan's already a defeated foe. He is our enemy, but he's a defeated foe, thank God. But sometimes we can forfeit our victory when we don't control our thinking and our thoughts about who we are in Christ and about what we have in Christ and about what God is doing in our lives. So there are promptings that can come from the flesh if we don't crucify the flesh. There are promptings that can come from the devil if we don't keep him underfoot and maintain the victory that Jesus has already won. Let's spend our last few minutes talking about more about the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The promptings of the Holy Spirit. The promptings of the Holy Spirit. In Exodus 35, 21, it says this in the CSB version, everyone whose heart was moved and whose spirit prompted him came and bought an offering to the Lord. This means that the children of Israel, they came and they were prompted in their spirits to give to the work of the Lord. And they gave that way. And we ought to allow the Holy Spirit to prompt us in our giving. Now listen, he shouldn't have to prompt us in our giving and tithing. We ought to just obey him and give and tithe and give our offerings. Amen. But then there are other times when God can lead us to give in other ways, and we should be sensitive to that. So we should also, at the same time, we should obey him with a joyful heart and then be sensitive to him. In Luke chapter 2, verse 27. Look at that in the Amplified Classic. Luke 2, 27. It says this, prompted by the Holy Spirit, he came into the temple enclosure. And when the parents brought in the little child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and praised and thanked God and said, "And now, Lord, you're releasing your servant to depart, to leave this world in peace according to your word. For with my own eyes, I've seen your salvation." What just happened there? Simeon, who was a man of God, who had a prophetic word, was outside of where Jesus and his parents were. And so what happened? The Holy Spirit prompted him to go into the temple at the same time that Jesus was in there. And he was able to take the Lord Jesus and to raise him in the air and to give a prophetic utterance over him. But he would have missed that moment, except that he had been prompted by the Holy Spirit to go in there at that very time. Look at Acts chapter 6 in the Passion Translation. Acts chapter 6, verse 10. Acts 6, verse 10, Passion Translation. It says this, "But the Holy Spirit gave Stephen remarkable wisdom to answer them. His words were prompted by the Holy Spirit." How many know the Holy Spirit can prompt our words, can prompt us in what to say? He can prompt our actions and what we do. I remember years and years ago, I was over in the NRC playing basketball. I remember because back then I was still writing checks, and I don't write very many checks today. I barely write a check. But I was playing basketball, and back then, you know, you'd play a game, and then if you won, you kept playing. If you lost, you sat out until your time came back up, and then you played another game. And so somebody might be sitting down, but they're just waiting on another pickup game to start when it's their turn. And I was waiting on another pickup game to start, and this gentleman walked past me. I'll never forget it. I'd never met him. I didn't know who he was. And I was sitting down resting. I'm sweating. I just played a game. And I'm sitting down, my back against the wall, and this gentleman walked past me, and down on the inside, I felt a prompting, a leading. Give him something. And I said, "Lord, you know, I just paid all my bills. I've just paid every day. And this is the wrong time for me to give him something. I don't have a whole lot left in my account to give him. But I felt this. I was arguing with the Lord that I didn't have very much to give." And after a few minutes, he didn't know me. He wasn't looking at me, nothing like that. He walked past again. He's not looking at me. He's not paying any attention to me. But the moment he walked past me, I felt down on the inside, give him something. And I said, "Lord, I think all I've got is 20 bucks. I think all I got is 20 bucks. And so I gave him, I stopped him and said, "Hey, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to give you this." And I gave him the $20. And he shouted first. And he took off running with a Holy Ghost run. And he ran two or three laps around the inside of the NRC. And his friends picked up on something and they started running with him. And they were shouting. And I thought, "Oh, Lord," he didn't even look at it. He must have thought that was $200. I gave him $20. He couldn't have looked at it. He didn't see it. Bless his heart. He didn't see it. And he was just a shouting, just running, just shouting and running. And his friends were shouting and running. And so I don't know how I caught up. I think I got up or something. I was just watching. I was amazed, but I got up and went to the men's locker room, and in the men's locker room, he finally broke through the door. And he said, "Brother," he said, "I don't know you." He said, "But that $20 you just put in my hand is confirmation of something the Lord said to me down on the inside this morning." He said, "Just this morning," he said, "God's got a call on my life. He's called me overseas to be a missionary. And I've been wrestling with that," he said. He said, "But just this morning, in my quiet time," he said, "just this morning, this very morning, God spoke to me in quiet time and told me, from this day forward, I'm going to begin to provide for you in the most unusual of ways." Yeah. And he said, it matters not that this was $20. It matters that God prompted you to give it. And he prompted me this morning that he was going to give to me and provide for all of my needs. Following the prompting of the Lord will pay off big time. That's all the time we have tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And this amount of time we've been able to convey to people the importance of following your prompting down on the inside. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16. Father, Proverbs 20:27, following the leading and the prompting of the Lord. So thank you, because there are some here who have, as I have had to in times past, confess myself, not being as sensitive as I should have been. And so forgive us where we've made mistakes, Lord. And someone listening, you say, well, I've disobeyed God's promptings again and again and again. Well, just repent and ask him to forgive you and accept it, because, you know, the scripture says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in 1 John 1:9. Father God, for that person who hadn't been sensitive to your leading, to your promptings on the inside, help them tonight. Show them, Lord, if they'll take extra time, set aside extra time and pray, it'll help them be more sensitive to the promptings of the Lord. Show them, Father, that if they'll spend extra time in your word, meditating in the word, they'll be more sensitive to your leadings on the inside. Show them, Lord, if they'll take time to pray in the Holy Ghost, they'll be more sensitive to your leadings and promptings on the inside. Show somebody tonight, Father, that if they'll quickly obey you, oh, that you'll speak to them and lead them and guide them as only you can. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. Thank you for his leadership on the inside. Thank you that he can lead us in any and every situation and circumstance and scenario, no matter how big the problem, no matter how big the situation, the Holy Ghost knows how to lead us and guide us. So refresh us and renew us and strengthen us and help us to follow your leadings, your promptings down on the inside. And we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And we know that your timing is important as well. But when we quickly obey you, we'll be so blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, that's a quick word for tonight. But I pray and know that you'll take it to heart. God's got something to say to you. Our prayer team is coming forward right now. If you'll put yourself in a position to receive, you're going to hear God talking to you. He's going to prompt you. He's going to lead you. He already is. But he's going to lead you in a way, and you're going to be more cognizant of his leading in your heart. Yeah. You need prayer tonight. You want to be born again. You want somebody to pray with you. You want somebody to agree with you in prayer about something. Come on forward. Our anointed prayer workers are here. You know how we do by now. The guys come to the guys and the ladies come to the ladies. You'll be here Wednesday, hour of power to get fueled up on the word again. And then Sunday morning, 10 a.m., another power-packed service. We love you. Take some time. Pay attention. Follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. We'll see you next time.